This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. So we did go back and fact check it. So going into the Saints-Houston game over the weekend, as we welcome you back, I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson live at the D right there, Bar Canada. Stop by and say hi to the boys downtown Las Vegas. So we were just discussing the Saints, and it's a team that's playing on Thursday night. Of course, you have questions about Trevor Lawrence and whether he will or won't as far as the Jags. So you see a number right now, DraftKings is the Saints at home laying a point, 39.5. Now I bring up the total. That's the important aspect here. So the Saints had gone under an 11 straight going into that Houston matchup over the weekend. That 11 straight was tied with the 2003 Bills for the longest such streak in the past 35 years. Now, the under did cash Saints-Houston, so now that's 12 straight for the Saints. 12 straight unders, boys. So I don't know what that means as far as streaks are concerned, but it obviously surpasses the Bills' 2003 streak of 11 straight. So 12 straight's a ridiculous number, and there's no surprise we're sub-40 coming up on Thursday because shortened week, everything condensed, questions at quarterback for the Jags. The Saints can't do anything offensively. It's not like you're itching to bet that over 39, right?
You're not at all, but what's impressive about this streak is the way the games are officiated nowadays. It seems like on almost every play you're looking around for a defensive holding, illegal contact. They've reduced the number of illegal contact calls, but still the defensive holding or a PI, it's so favorable to the offense. So what the Saints have been able to do with a combination of inept coaching, inept offense, and great defense has really been leading to this under machine.
Dennis Allen, it's interesting because he did a hell of a job with that defense. Why are you laughing, big guy?
He just makes me laugh. I can't believe he got a second shot in the NFL.
He makes you laugh. If I were to say right now, have you ever heard Dennis Allen speak? There's a good chance you haven't.
Oh, no. There's a chance that if his thing came across my TikTok, him doing his press conference, there's a 0% chance I would let it stay on the screen while he spoke. I'd be gone before he opened his mouth.
Did you see, we're going to get to our power ratings, but just a few odds and ends here I want to clean up as we get into this. Did you see what happened with that donk Shane Beamer? And again, I am so suggestive and I'm easily manipulated. So we interviewed, as soon as he got the job on the radio show we did, we interviewed Shane Beamer, my alma mater, South Carolina. And so usually when I talk to somebody, even if they've done unsavory things, I'm suggestive. I'm like, oh, I like that person. Right? Like, that's just how we are. It's human nature to be like, they talk to me.
Yeah.
I can't stand Shane Beamer. Shane Beamer is a donk. And do you see what he did after the loss against Florida? He broke his foot after the game when he kicked something in frustration after his team squandered a 10-point fourth quarter lead Saturday. And you should have seen the boys in the group. Okay. The group chat was buzzing because they know I think Beamer's a donk. Okay, so the game started, South Carolina's beating Florida, and all my friends I went to school with, they're like, what do you think about Beamer now? What do you think about Beamer now? At the end of the game, four of them literally all said they got to fire him after the game. They got to fire him after the game. They got to fire him after the game. Beamer, who after the North Carolina loss, went to the post-game presser and proceeded to blame everybody. Officials, his team, the assistants. After the loss against Florida, he went to the post-game presser. And he blamed his team. And then he broke his dumb foot, kicking something out of frustration. I'm sorry. He just wasn't ready for a big-time job like that one in Columbia, South Carolina.
Is it a big-time job? Is Shane Beamer the best you can do, maybe?
What? Have you ever heard of Steve Spurrier, you big donk?
What did he do there?
Won 11 games three straight years?
You're not content.
Had his team ranked in the top 10 for three straight years? What question are you even posing to me right now, you big lug?
Beggars,
literally,
can't be choosers.
Nothing.
He's the best you're going to do right now.
Wait, hold on. Okay. You're having two conversations with me. And Amal, I expect you to come in and just reach over and smack that big dummy in the head that looks like Mike McCarthy. Shout to the listener. There's and you know who preceded Steve Spurrier at South Carolina, right?
Lou Holtz.
Yeah. A dude named Lou Holtz, who's out here 110, just absolutely poning dudes that coach at Ohio State. No offense.
None taken.
There's pre-Steve Spurrier at South Carolina and post-Steve Spurrier at South Carolina. Pre-Steve Spurrier, the franchise had never done anything, right? You understand that. They had never won anything. Steve Spurrier literally came in and had South Carolina, whether it's Marshawn Lattimore, whether it's Sidney Rice, whether it's Connor Shaw. We can go on it. Jadeveon Clowney. We can go on and on and on. Stephon Gilmore. We can go on and on and on what he did with that program. They won 11 games three straight years. They ranked in the top 10. Since then, Will Muschamp, donk. Now Shane B. Like, legitimately, they're nobodies again. So my point is, the window with which you ask what did he do there, he made them a legit national contender, and now they've gone back to being nothing. So defend yourself.
Well, I'm just going to hit you with a little throwback. It's going to be an inside joke. No one else is going to get it. Just mark the tape promo.
No, don't promo anything. Don't promo it, because I'm acting like a psycho. I don't want you to promo it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, though. I don't think people realize how good
Spurrier was. Don't acting like a 45 years old.
How good Spurrier was at South Carolina. He had 10 consecutive winning seasons. The only time he had a losing season was in last year when he was 2-4 and left halfway through there. But to Patrick's point, they finished three consecutive years in the top 10, 11-2 three straight years, 6-2 in the SEC. I mean, think about it. Before that, guys, 7-5, 8-5, 6-6, 7-6, 7-6, 9-5, and then those 3-11-2 seasons. He deserves a ton of credit for what he did there. A lot of guys have tried since and have not come even close.
So you fire and you hire Jamie Chadwell.
Jamie Chadwell's not going anywhere with that contract he's got at Liberty.
Well, and the point about Beamer, Dustin, to your point, you said, do they deserve better than Beamer? Like, Beamer's resume without his dad, who hung around for like seven extra years at Virginia Tech, is nothing, right? Like, what's Beamer's resume? Nothing.
Oh, no.
Why did he deserve? He's a Nepo dude. Why did he deserve an SEC job?
That's fair. My question would just be, who can you get that is immediately better versus letting him see this thing through and build the program the way he wants to do it?
There will be dudes bending over backwards to take an SEC job, especially over the past decade because of Spurrier. The upgrades and facilities and what they've done in Columbia at South Carolina is absolutely remarkable.
I
understand what you're saying, but it's not Vanderbilt.
No, but like, could you get the next Lance Leopold? Like, who is that? Or could you get Lance Leopold?
I tell you right now, I don't want Lance Leopold managing the clock. Holy cow, Leipold, 2 weeks in a row.
Leipold would leave Kansas in a second.
That's what I'm saying. If you can get a guy like that, now we're talking.
I don't want Leipold. You know what I want? I want to go to Washington next to Lake Washington and take your boy.
Kalen DeBoer?
Yes.
You think he'd leave Washington for South Carolina?
Not anymore. Not because they're going to the – but you understand that's the type of coach I'm looking for.
It's not like going to the Big Ten is going to be all that easy for them either.
Dude, SEC money is no joke.
Yeah.
SEC recruiting, being able to recruit Georgia at South Carolina, that is exactly why Spurrier had so much success at South Carolina, because he went to two states, Florida and Georgia. And I know it's a country band. Don't go there. I don't care. I'm just saying.
Florida-Georgia line.
I'm just saying. All right, whatever. Anyway, Beamer's a donk. That's my point. What was Beamer doing before he got the South Carolina job? Do you guys even know?
Oklahoma.
Yeah, he bounced around a bunch, didn't he?
Coaching wide receivers?
I feel like he coached special teams somewhere, too.
He was go ahead.
Yep.
He was
Oklahoma, Georgia, Virginia Tech.
Well, he was at Oklahoma. I don't even care if they called him the offensive coordinator. Lincoln Riley, did you see what's his name that's the offensive coordinator right now? He was coaching Arizona. You just named him.
Jed Fish.
The good-looking kid. No.
Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, Kingsbury. You see, Kingsbury's the offensive coordinator at USC. He doesn't even wear a headset.
I didn't notice that.
He doesn't even wear a headset because Lincoln Riley does it all.
I mean, Cliff Kingsbury feels like he puts his feet up like in that picture during the draft and just hangs out all day at USC.
But is there anything better than that? He's like, dude, I live in Southern California. I'm stealing about 1.2, and I can't get fired because Lincoln Riley doesn't seem to fire anybody on that staff.
Doesn't even wear a headset. Anyway, quickly before we get to our power rankings, Merrill Kelly's the play tonight. You're afraid of the bank.
I am.
This Diamondbacks team is going to hit NOLA. So if you want to go over the 7.5, feel free, big guy.
So
if you want to go over, go feel free. But Merrill Kelly greater than Aaron NOLA.
So
I'm sorry.
No, to your point, Merrill Kelly has been awesome. His last time out versus the Dodgers, 6 1/3, 0 earned, 5 punch-outs. Also beat them back on June 14th, 6 innings, 3 hits, 3 earned. Career versus Philly, a sub-3 ERA. He's pretty good against them. In fact, his one start at the bank, 7 2/3, 3 hits, 0 earned, 5 strikeouts. So he was awesome then. But I do think there's been some luck based on the analytics with he's had a high barrel rate, average exit velo is close to 90 miles an hour, high hard hit rate of 41.8%.
But do you believe in NOLA is my question.
So that's the thing is he's been so average during the year, but so awesome in the postseason. I think Arizona can get to him. Bad numbers as Jensen pointed out.
So you're going over.
3.76 lifetime against Arizona. I trust that Arizona is going to get a little bit to NOLA, and I just trust the Phillies to hit against anyone.
Amal, what's the verdict?
I'm going to tell you, I'm with Dustin on this one with this Phillies offense. I'm concerned NOLA can get hit. I actually disagree, Jensen. I'd probably look the over in this game.
Yeah, the over.
I'm just convinced right now the Phillies are a team of destiny. 7 more wins for them coming.
All right, so you guys, is it over? Over 7.5?
I like over.
Feels like it.
Okay. When we come back, the first ever snake draft, power rankings, NFL style, sharp money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, our experts have been red hot over at the picks page. Check them out, VSiN.com/subscribe. You can get in for as low as $19. Easily sortable, top VSiN expert leaderboard, ROI, it's all there. It's really the feature everybody goes and signs up for because we give you free plays. VSiN.com/subscribe. So we've got our power rankings NFL-wise coming up, but an impromptu ranking SEC jobs because we got into an argument during the break. Now, to be fair, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is Sharp Money. To be fair, like this is, I went to an SEC school. I'm obsessed with the, like, I'm going to probably have a differing opinion. So please fight back if you feel free to do so. Vandy is the worst job in the SEC. Okay.
No,
we all universally agree with that. I'll go ahead and give the second to last, and then if you guys want to start fighting back as far as jobs in the SEC, why did this conversation start for new listeners? We were talking about Shane Beamer in over his head at Columbia and South Carolina. It's still a big-time job, regardless of what you think of it and perception. The second worst job in the SEC is Mississippi State.
No problem with that.
I had a different one, but it was only one away.
Who is that? Who
are you Missouri, because I just don't think they belong in the SEC. It's a weird fit.
Okay, then we can go Missouri.
No, I've been to Starkville. Starkville is it's like the size of the room we're in right now.
It's a job in the SEC, but it's not a good one.
To put it, guys get that job, and they leave for another SEC job. That's how you know it's bad.
The Missouri job is interesting because, like you said, it's just geographically and perception-wise, it doesn't feel like an SEC school,
yes.
But I don't have much of a grasp on it because it wasn't like it's not really a school that I paid a ton of attention to because when did it get there? 13 or 12. Who do you guys want to put third from bottom?
I would probably go Ole Miss or Kentucky. I'd go probably Kentucky.
I was going to say Kentucky is the third worst program.
Yeah.
You guys okay with that?
If you look over the course of history, they very rarely are winning teams.
Okay. Next, Amal says Ole Miss. Is that where we start putting Missouri in the mix?
That's fine.
I think Ole Miss is a better job than Missouri.
That's fine. I'm not going to split hairs on the back.
Only because you're willing to be dumber in Mississippi.
So here's what I would say. Here's what I would say. Missouri, now we're from bottom up, we're ranking SEC jobs. My conversation would start next with Mississippi and Arkansas.
I disagree with you on Arkansas. I think Arkansas is a little bit better job. I'd have it probably somewhere between 9 and 7. Great alumni base, beautiful place in Northwest Arkansas, and good fan support in the state of Arkansas.
Yeah, I guess the best thing you can say about Arkansas, though, is that it's not Mississippi.
Northwest Arkansas.
So you
want to
put Mississippi there? So, and then
I think is a better job than Mississippi, but we're splitting hairs.
No, let's put Mississippi below it then. And then I'm guessing you guys want to put South Carolina after Mississippi?
What number are we at there? What's the number there? I've got South Carolina at
I think we're at 8 right now, right?
Yeah, sounds about right.
So we got 14 Vanderbilt, 13 Mississippi State, 12 Kentucky, 11 Missouri, and I believe we went 10 Arkansas, 9 Ole Miss.
That's fine.
No, Ole Miss was worse than Arkansas.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then Arkansas, 9.
Yes.
I would go South Carolina, 8.
I would go South Carolina, 8 as well.
South Carolina, so we're debating South Carolina versus Tennessee. Yeah. Yeah.
Tennessee's a better job.
Yeah, Tennessee's a better job, for sure.
Number 7, guys, I would go with Auburn.
First off, I'll just give it away. My number one will surprise. And I think, Amal, you said your number one will surprise as well.
Yes.
SEC jobs.
Yes.
Okay? Okay. Now, next up, you said Auburn. Who are we debating Auburn with, and what number is this, Dustin, as far as
number
jobs in the
7?
SEC?
So I guess the debate would be Auburn versus A&M?
A little bit.
Versus
Tennessee. Again, I don't consider A&M SEC, which
Same
bothers
here.
Me. But yeah. But A&M has so much money.
Yeah, it's exactly. That's why I put A&M a little bit higher. You're recruiting the Houston area. And Auburn, you have to recruit against Alabama, and Alabama will always be the flagship school.
So Auburn versus Tennessee, Auburn's going to be 7.
Correct.
Yep, and then Tennessee's next.
Yes,
yeah,
I agree.
It has to be. So we're in our top 5 now.
Our top 5, and the schools that are left are, Dustin?
A&M, LSU, Alabama, Florida, and Georgia.
Yep. I'm going to go
A&M 5. These are some. A&M is 5.
Yep.
The final 4 are freaking bangers. Like, this is like the Beatles, Rolling Stones.
Exactly.
Like these programs. Okay, so we have 4 programs. We're ranking the SEC jobs: Georgia, Florida, Bama, LSU.
Do you guys want to give your 4 in order? Because they're going to surprise, I think.
I'll just give my 4.
Go ahead, Patrick. Let's give
our 4 in order. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Okay? I am going to say Florida is 4.
I agree. I agree.
Please and then continue. I'm going to say LSU is 3. And then I'm going to say, I don't think people realize how freaking great of a job Georgia is. Alabama's 2, Georgia's 1.
I got no problem with your list. I have it flipped, though. I've got Alabama 4, LSU 3. No, I'll explain myself in a second. You guys are going too much based on what Nick Saban's been able to accomplish there. They had some lean years there between.
Shout to Mike Shula.
It's exactly right.
And Mike Price for one day,
Mike Price,
hero.
Dennis Franchione.
Hold on.
Dennis Franchione.
I'm going to go out from Veasan the same way Mike Price went out.
Speaking of A&M.
The reason why, look, I'm taking into consideration not just the success on the field, recruiting base, and the support.
Okay, wait. Hold on. You're doing your final 4, and
yes.
Your fourth is Bama. Okay,
Bama's 4. LSU is 3. Great, great recruits in the state of Louisiana. Georgia is 2 for me, and I got no problem if you have them at 1 like you do. I was debating. I think Florida is a top 3 job in college football.
So,
interesting.
Our list.
I can't
similar.
Argue it. To me, it was like ranking your favorite kids at those 4.
I have Florida at 4 because I think it's so hard to recruit in that state right now and win. We're seeing Miami struggle. We've seen Florida struggle. Florida State just got back. Because everyone else in the country is coming in there to get so many skill guys from your backyard.
I think that's why it's so easy right now. Florida State, and Miami are not as good as they once were. This is why if you have the right personality, if Urban or Saban or Kirby Smart are in Gainesville right now, they're on a historic run.
No, but the whole country is going there to pluck guys out. I have Bama at 3. I somewhat agree with them all. The pressure to live up to things and the expectations at Alabama are so stupid.
I think that's fair.
Like, if you just take it in a
vacuum. So you're going LSU, too.
LSU is number 2 for me because I think you can recruit. You have a ton of support. You have a ton of money. great facilities, a great tradition to recruit behind, but number one is Georgia, mainly because the recruiting base.
Yeah.
If you just win the state of Georgia and you win
put a fence up,
and it's, you win
put
Atlanta,
a fence up around the state, you win championships.
You don't need anything else. Per capita, the most NFL players in the league come from Georgia. It's a small state in terms of population, tons of NFL talent.
I got no problem with your guys' list and having Georgia number one. I was debating Florida and Georgia. The only reason I went with Florida is because you still produce so many great players, whether it's in the Tampa area, some guys in Jacksonville, a few guys in the Panhandle, and then, of course, you go down to South Florida and Central Florida. There's so many dudes that are there. But, I mean, think about this, guys. Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, both escaped to Clemson. Those should have been guys that are playing
Justin
in Georgia.
Fields.
Justin Fields, another one. I mean, we're talking about three first-round picks that were all should have been playing for UGA
there
for their career.
It's in, for the size of the state,
yep.
It's impossible to explain how talented the kids from Georgia are.
I covered high school football in Georgia for 2 years. It was basically covering college football.
Here's what matters. Ohio, Georgia, Florida, Texas, California.
Yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
I would take Ohio off that list now.
No.
I probably would take Ohio off, but Ohio's still pretty rich.
They got so many guys that fill out rosters, though.
You're not wrong in terms of college football, in terms of filling rosters, but, man, you go
maybe
back
not the NFL, yeah.
20, 25 years ago, you were getting guys going in the pros, but I think
if you want to take out Ohio, you might just throw Louisiana in there.
Oh, no, 100% they should be on the list.
That's another one per capita.
That's number two per capita behind Georgia.
Yeah.
Louisiana, that's why I had LSU on there.
Georgia, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, and California.
Yes.
That's all you need. The rest of them, shoot them to the moon. And that includes you, Michigan. My family just got shot to the moon, but you just don't have enough talent.
I don't disagree. I think
at least they're among the stars, Patrick.
There's a few places you could put fences around. Fence around Georgia. Fence around Florida and a fence around Dallas and Houston, you can win national championships.
I think Florida has too much talent to put a fence around that it's just hard to get the right ones.
Unless you're Donk Holgorsen, because he's sitting in the middle of Houston and can't win.
Dude.
Why do you think Kelvin's basketball program is straight rolling? He's like, yeah, I'm just going to recruit Harris County. Don't worry about anybody
else. Yeah, plus Kelvin Sampson is willing to cheat. We know it.
Welcome to the SEC, boys.
I don't have enough time to do my list. So we're going to do NFL news and injury updates
next.
3-point
stance.
We're going to have to do our power rankings tomorrow.
Yep.
All right. We continue. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, Shaw Sweetelson, flag down Goulet. Tell him to get to the set. I at least need his top four. I'm obsessed with the SEC job conversation. Okay, so I'm going to tell him about the Sports Equinox special. Let's get John Goulet, our boss, over here because this SEC conversation is taking over my soul. Okay, hey. And first off, let's just be fair. South Carolina being right in the middle of the pack was a big win for Columbia, South Carolina. You know what's a big win for you? $120, you get everything we offer with the Sports Equinox special that's going on right now until May 1st. You get everything we offer, okay? The NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA, college football, it's all going on right now. You get unlimited access to our betting, splits, and daily best bets. Everything we offer for $129. We have not run the Sports Equinox special yet, ever, in all my years here. First time, VSiN.com/subscribe to take advantage. Okay, so here's what we did. Sweetelson started clowning on Shane Beamer in South Carolina, pretending like it's not a big-time job because he's an idiot, okay? So then we just said, let's rank him. Now, Amal, we started at the bottom with Vandy. We went Starkville. We went Mississippi State. Yeah. And then, you know, had an interesting conversation as far as the middle of the SEC. But before we ask John, you would agree that once we got to the Final Four, like those, there were four teams and there was a chasm between the rest of the crew and the SEC.
Yeah, absolutely right. I don't think if somebody wants to have Georgia one, I got no qualms with it. Great talent, great money there in support of UGA. That was my argument for Florida with the talent pool in the state of Florida and Georgia. But John, our boss, was adamant that we were all wrong because we didn't have one team at the top, and he thought it was an absolute slam dunk. It was like the Jordan-LeBron argument. It's always Jordan.
I may have come in
before
a little
we
hot
get to
this.
Hold on. Before we get to it, I went Florida 4. Now, My debate was LSU or Bama 3-2. I went LSU 3, Bama 2, and Georgia 1. Amal Shaw, you went Florida 1.
Yep, Georgia 2.
You went who?
Georgia 2, LSU 3, and Alabama 4.
Okay. John Goulet, our fearless leader. Go ahead. Let's hear him.
So I'm not the expert you guys are, but I had LSU number 1, and I don't even think it's that close. LSU, before Brian Kelly, who I don't think any of us would be shocked if he won a title at LSU, correct?
Correct.
Facts. The last three LSU head coaches have all won national championships. You have Ed Orgeron, who doesn't really speak English, won a title, may have had the greatest team ever. Before him, you had Les Miles, who was on the field openly eating grass. He won a national championship. And then before him, Nick Saban won a national championship.
Well, I think
what other school can we were arguing in the break about Florida. Florida's had a lot of coaches come in there and can't do anything. Urban was great there, but Urban's just a great head coach. I think LSU is number one because they have bad coaches come in and win titles.
I think the one thing that does strengthen his argument is Les Miles once tried to call a timeout after a punt to stop the clock. I think that substantiates the LSU argument.
The recruiting base, the fan base, those are two positives for LSU. I don't know monetarily if they could hang with even an A&M. I know they can't hang with Georgia. And Georgia, I'd even give an edge recruiting-wise. Again, the state of Georgia is ridiculous. I think I probably would buy John's. I probably could flip LSU with Bama. Though the sustained run, Amal and John, from Saban over the last 12 years has kind of put them in a different place. They weren't there prior to Saban. Right.
Bama's a
and then I don't know about Florida.
Bama's a terrible job for whoever gets that job next.
Well, I would agree I would agree with you there. And also my pushback on Alabama is they weren't great before Nick Saban arrived, right? You have to go back to it wasn't Ray Perkins, but the other guy. He coached in the NFL for a little while as well. I see his face right now, but
You're talking Alabama?
Yeah, 1991 won the national championship.
You're not talking Shula.
No. 1991. Bill.
He's a commentator.
Yes. God, I'm drawing a blank.
Okay, I'll find it. Go ahead, make your point.
So, you know, Bama's a great
job.
Bill Curry. Not Bill Curry. I'm sorry. I said Ray Perkins. Bill Curry is who I was thinking of, but it wasn't him. Gene Stallings won the national title. Right.
Okay,
so I think Alabama's a great job, but remember, you still have Auburn. You have a faction of the state. Let's say it's 75-25 or 80-20 in favor of Alabama. In Louisiana, you have no other competition. In Georgia, you technically have Georgia Tech, but they're not really a team we'd consider. Florida, yes, you can make the argument Florida State and Miami, but at the end of the day, to me, it's about economics, recruiting base, and that's why I have Florida, Georgia, and LSU. Those are pro-pipeline factories.
John, first off, I just want to say, I just got a text from Dustin. He said, John's on my laptop. Tell him not to dig too deeply into my search history.
I was going to look up Alabama head coaches and realize I don't even want to touch this thing right now.
don't even touch the surface. It's probably disgusting. So let's clean it up then. LSU is Mr. Goulet's one. We've got to round out the top four in the SEC.
I'd go Georgia too because of the recruiting. Yes. And I'm not. I guess I won't get too upset if they're number one, but I think there's a gap. I go Florida 3 because that program they've hired some bad coaches. Yeah. They should be better.
I agree.
I think that I have them 3 because you have two other major programs in the state, which I do think hurts you, even though they're not in the SEC yet. And then I'd put Bama 4 because I think Bama might be lower if they haven't just had the greatest coaching run of all time.
I would agree with you there. The one argument I'll make pro Florida here is real quickly. California has so much talent. It fills out the rosters for Oregon, Washington, Arizona State, and all these other schools, and these teams can compete. I think there's so much talent in Florida that you don't even have to be the best recruiter in the state, but if you can get some of those guys that Bama and some of these other programs, Georgia and Ohio State steal, if you can keep a few of those guys in state, you got a chance to win. And I think Florida proximity, it's centrally located. It's great accessibility, whether you're in the Panhandle, Jacksonville, Miami, Tampa, wherever. I still think
bigger
the Gators
city
be
than you think. It's actually a pretty big city.
Yeah.
Look, you can't really go wrong with the four. So Goulet's got LSU, Georgia, bit of a chasm between the two, Florida, and Bama. Okay.
I, I think Bama's got to be four because, and John said it best, it's like trying to follow John Wooden at UCLA. Who wants to take that Alabama job next?
Before I go,
Lysol my ears after having this Dustin's headset on, I will say I'll put my programming hat back on. This is a good idea for a segment. This is great.
Give Mr. Maher credit.
I'm walking down Fremont Street, like yelling at myself, like, oh my God, I wouldn't rank this team there. It's great stuff.
But if you think about Bama quickly, because Stallings played for Bear Bryant,
yep.
So did Perkins. Like, there was a bit of, like, where that lineage started to fizzle out, but now it's the second kind of,
sure.
You see what I'm saying? Like, Saban, Kirby, it's not going to be Kirby. It may be Dabo. But once Saban leaves, I think it continues. It's just the question of who decides to go, who decides to follow him. It could be Dabo.
I don't think Dabo's ever going to take that job. I know he's from Alabama. I think he's got a very good thing going there in Clemson. The pressure is not going to be as great as it would be in Tuscaloosa. And Kirby, because of his age, I think he's 48, 49, somewhere in that range, 47, 49. He's got a chance to actually break everything that Nick has accomplished.
Because that, to John's point, the job becomes undesirable because you don't want to follow. Saban literally has, there's a statue of him in Tuscaloosa.
You don't want to follow the guy. You want to follow the guy after the guy.
Yeah, although, if we're being fair, there is a statue of Nick Foles and Doug Peterson outside the link in Philly.
Look what happened to Carson Wentz.
Sirianni's doing fine. If we're being fair. Okay. Well, thank you, John. We were going to do our first ever NFL power rankings, but that took precedence. Thank you, John Goulet, who did a great job there. He's got LSU, Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. I think you guys are probably right. I think if I change anything, I probably would jump. Maybe you're right. Maybe Florida needs to jump up a little bit. I think I'm a little bit, I just can't stand Florida. I loathe Florida, Amal, so maybe I'm a little bit influenced that way.
I got no problem with your pushback on the Gators. Look, to me, this is like splitting hairs, right? Real quick question for both of you. The best job in college football, if somebody said, this job is available, every 130 teams, 131.
My answer is going to surprise you, but I don't think it should. Okay? Honestly, you said it earlier when you were talking to John. The best job in college football is USC.
Oh, I agree completely. It's not even close for me.
The best job in college football is USC. And I don't even think there's a question.
I agree.
I don't want to be in a major city.
Listen, I get that the Rams and the Chargers are there. The Trojans are Los Angeles' football team.
I mean, there is one job where you literally have God on your side, Notre Dame.
Apparently, God's been
Notre
busy
Dame
for three-plus decades.
USC?
No, well, that's not my answer. You know what my answer is. The best job in America is at the best football program in America, and that is Valdosta State University.
Jesus Christ.
Have you ever flown into South Bend? You feel like you're flying into Deliverance.
No,
okay?
I haven't because there were no direct flights. There were no direct flights, and I had to drive from Chicago to South Bend, and I was more depressed than I've ever been in my life.
All right, we've got a baseball play. We've got college football plays. We've still got three-point stance with a new open to get to. Top 10, tabs to close, plenty to do.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, DraftKings, the deal right now. New customers bet $5, get $200 instantly in bonus bets when you use the promo code VEGAS. Okay, or you can use Sharp, by the way. No sweat, every day, same game parlay. Make sure you check it out. Download the DraftKings app and get $200 when you bet $5 right now. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
The top stories in football.
We want some hope! We want some hope! We want some hope!
Every single day.
Ice up, son! Ice up!
This is 3-Point Stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
On Sharp Money.
Go play intramurals, brother!
Hell yeah. Go play. It's the Big 12! Go play intramurals, brother!
Nice work, big guy, with the three-point stance open as we welcome you back. NFL news. I think the big news, first off, there's two pieces of big news. We got to get to the updates on the quarterbacks. And secondly, I haven't had like a drink in a month, but I think I'm going to have to drink tonight because we are at work. We're switching email servers. And I am more stressed about this switch than anything that's happened in a long time since the last time we had to do compliance, because there's so many words in this email from Blair. Now, it looks as professional as anything we've ever received, but I am just overwhelmed. I think I'm breaking out in hives.
You're not alone. I mean, I'm not a big computer person. I'm a disgrace to my people when it comes to that. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not sure exactly how it's going to transpire, but luckily Dustin said there's a PDF that'll walk us through it.
Okay. Well, I'll open up the PDF. Big guy, let's get to it. I think the big news is, if we're going to start with quarterbacks, I know you got a bunch of sound you want to play too, as that is, we have heard from Trevor Lawrence. Sounds like he's going to give it a go for Thursday night. Again, we open up week 7 coming up this Thursday in New Orleans. Jacksonville still TBD as far as the board quarterback, but it sounded like from his comments today, he's going to give it a go. Right now, New Orleans is laying a point, 39.5 on the total. Did you guys take anything differently from those comments?
I did not.
Well, if he can't go, the other option is C.J. Beathard. So he better go.
That would not be great. All right, what's coming up next? What else you got for?
You want to hit on Ryan Tannehill, because that's a big loss for Tennessee and could start a fire sale leading into the trade deadline for Tennessee. He's not going to require surgery, but he's currently in a cast and has a high ankle sprain. There's no definitive timeline for his recovery, so things are pretty much over for Tennessee if Malik Willis or Will Levis are under center.
Malik Willis, I think he had probably right around 6 dropbacks in London, and I think he was sacked 5 times.
He was. He had more lost yards on sacks than he had passing yards.
Why was he drafted when he was drafted? And then why did Tennessee say, hold my beer and go to Kentucky and take Will Levis?
Well,
you just put yourself in a bad spot.
Malik Willis was drafted where he was drafted, but remember, he was originally projected to be the first quarterback off the board leading into his last season at Liberty. People thought he was the best quarterback in college at that point.
Who are these people?
Hugh Freeze hoodwinked everybody.
I mean.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, he was running a system at Liberty with a 6-foot quarterback that can't play in the league.
Well, and
remember, we saw it last year. Remember, he started against Kansas City. They didn't throw a pass.
Well, and he also, remember, he was an Auburn transfer. So, he was an SEC guy playing in a lower division. He should dominate.
By the way, I got to read you guys something real quick. This is from On3 regarding Will Levis. For Kentucky football fans, this means Will Levis vaulted up to the role of backup quarterback when Tannehill got hurt. He's
what?
The third quarterback. They're trying to hype him up he vaulted up to number 2 on the charts.
Oh, their message board is happy that
No, this is an article, actually, saying he vaulted up to the number 2 status with the Tennessee Titans now that Tannehill got hurt.
There's nobody else to vault.
That's
impossible to vault if there's nobody on the vault.
It feels like a program trying to cleanse themselves of the Tim Couch stink still, the Andre Woodson.
There's no vault. You're just that you just end up there if you're Will Levis.
There's no other option.
The person is trying to hype up Kentucky football in a positive manner. He is vaulted up to number 2 in the NFL depth chart.
I'd rather Mark Stoops play quarterback than Will Levis at this point. All right, what else you got?
Anthony Richardson's likely to miss the remainder of the season, according to Stephen Holder, who spoke to Jim Irsay. I won't read the Jim Irsay quote because, honestly, I think it'll probably confuse me because it's Jim Irsay's words. Josh Allen injured his right shoulder Sunday night. X-rays were normal after the game. Underwent some further testing on Monday. Sean McDermott said Allen is sore but will be all right.
We going to be all – you know how he hurt his shoulder, by the way?
How?
Remember towards the end of the game when there was that big fight in the end zone and he went after the dude and threw his shoulder into him? That's when he hurt his shoulder.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking about? When Allen went after the Giant?
Kind of remember.
He threw his shoulder into him in the end zone? Yeah, dude, we heard his shoulder actually get into a fight.
Is
that's
he related
the
to
problem
Shane
with
Beamer?
Allen. That's him. But now I'm being serious about it because that's the problem with Allen. That's how he plays the position as well. He's going to end up. Now, I think going back to Richardson quickly here, there's something to be said about the amount of different injury. Richardson, like, do you get shut down for a UCL sprain?
Well, no, he might need surgery on his shoulder, I think they said.
Oh, he's getting surgery?
Yeah, okay. One, bunch of he had a bunch of opinions, went to a different bunch of different specialists, and I think a couple of them suggested surgery, and it just makes sense. I mean, you're not winning the Super Bowl this year. Come back and be right next year.
Okay. What else?
Let's hear from Robert Saleh. He went on Good Morning Football earlier today and was asked about Aaron Rodgers being out there for pregame warmups and asked, could we possibly see A-Rod before the end of the season?
I'm telling Kyle, I'm one of those guys searching. I'm like, why is he supposed to be doing this?
Yeah.
And because I've got people who have, you know, Coach Richard Sherman, who was coming off his Achilles. Uh-huh. I've got friends who have had Achilles injuries. What he's doing, according to them, is absolutely ridiculous. For him to be walking already, I wouldn't put anything past them. You know, he is a big believer in manifestation, and you are who you think you are, and you become what you think about. And he is willing himself to return faster than what you're supposed to be. Like, it's amazing. I think he's fueled by doubt. I mean, I don't think I know he's fueled by doubt. You doubt, the more you doubt him, the more fuel he has. And, you know, he's on a mission. And there's one thing I've learned about him is that when he has something in my very short time with him, but when he's got something on his mind and he's got and he wants to prove something, he's going to prove it.
The impressive part about Robert Saleh there is his wife got pregnant during that clip.
Well,
seven kids.
He said Rodgers is big on manifestation. If you do that too much, though, you'll go blind.
Continue, big guy. What else you got?
Let's see. What else? Let's switch over to college football briefly. Dan Lanning's been under some scrutiny for the way things played out against
Washington. Lanning. His name is Donk Lanning.
I think he's the next head coach at Alabama. Dan Lanning discussing the criticism of his time management versus the Huskies.
Well, I'd say this, like, if I knew none of them were going to work, you would change every situation, right? That's not the way those decisions work, right? The, you know, here's the hard part. You know, when you sit in this seat, when I make decisions, one, I'm a big boy, I can handle criticism, right? And that's going to come, that's, and it's deserved, in this position. That's the way it works. I trust our players. I trust our coaches, and we have opportunities to win games. I'm going to be aggressive, to win games. If you look back at all of them, you know, ultimately field goal before half, that's one that I feel we certainly could have gone either way. Like I said, on Saturday, we felt that we had the look. If we didn't have the look that we wanted, we were going to call a timeout and we were going to kick the field goal. Could easily turn around and say, kick the field goal there and feel good about it. You know, at the very end of the game, I don't think there's any scenario where I wouldn't go for it on fourth down there when you have an opportunity to put the game away. They've scored on more than 50% of their drives at that point in the game. You know, 75 yards to 50 yards to 80 yards for them with a potent offense. You know, they're going to have a lot of success.
Is he reading War and Peace? What is this clip that you're playing right now?
That is
the longest clip of all time. The only thing I take from that is he looks 17 years old.
He doesn't take a breath. That was the issue. I needed him to stop speaking so I could end the clip, and he doesn't stop. My issue with the clip is he looks like he's sitting in the chair of like a Marvel villain.
Was there anything as far as the actual content you wanted to comment on them all? Because I don't.
I didn't have a problem with the decision to go for it on fourth down against Washington. I actually thought it was the right call. You get 3 yards, 4 yards, you win the game. The only reason I would have liked to have seen them take a field goal before half is because even if Washington comes out with a touchdown in the second half, you're still within 8 points. That's the only reason I would have liked to have seen them kick it. But overall, I didn't have too much of an issue.
I mean, why don't we just say what we need to say about we can talk college football tomorrow, but Washington, Oregon, when games don't live up to the hype, that's so often. That game... it exceeded the hype. It was a freaking great game. No?
It was the best game of the college football season so far.
Speaking of hype.
Not even close.
Looks like Zion Webb will be the starter for Jacksonville State today. He is in his, like, seventh year of college.
So he's going to play tonight. Okay. Good job, big guy. Good job, Amal. Evan Washburn, thank you. Jensen Lewis, thank you. Tim Jenkins, thank you. John Goulet, thank you. I'm so nervous about flipping over this email server. Wish me luck, boys. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow here on Sharp. And we will get to our power rankings, a little snake draft, tomorrow here on Sharp Money.